I hope we're all doing well. I'm happy to be speaking on, going to do part three today on this 2020 journey. And what I'm going to speak about today is called Choose Joy. Choose Joy. How many of us know that joy is a choice, right? On this 2020 journey, can only be taken with full joy and delight in what God has in store for us. Because if you don't have joy, then there's no point in doing this. It's no point in just going through the motions. You with me? So God has a plan. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has a plan. Turn to your other neighbor and say, He will work it out. See, the journey might have a few twists and turns, even some unexpected ones. How many of us love unexpected turns? Yet in all this, we choose joy on the journey. How many of us want to have joy on the journey? Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Another version says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And then you got to love the message sometimes. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. So how many of us want to attend to what he reveals? Can we go to the next two slides here? And for those that are listening online, the first slide is a painting of these two blue rectangles with a white line down the middle. Go to the next slide. This other painting is a bunch of scribble on a black and almost gray canvas. And so how many of us, and I'm the furthest person that knows paintings. But if we go back to the first one, this painting is painted by a gentleman called Barnett Newman in 1953, and it was part of the One Mint Six series. Do you know how much this painting sold for? $43.8 million. And the next one, guess how much that sold for? $68.9 million. But here's the thing. Who determines that the value of this painting are worth $43.8 million and $68.9 million? Who determines that value? Right? I mean, especially that blue one. It's just two blue rectangles with a white line down the middle. I mean, my kids can do that. Maybe we are onto something. However, someone justified to themselves that they saw something more than what I saw. How many of us had the thought, that's not what I pictured? That's not what I pictured. You see, I come with my lenses and I see this and I think, oh my goodness, all I see is two blue rectangles with white down the middle, with a white line down the middle. But somebody else comes and says, no, I see a zipper, and the zipper goes through the blue canvas, and it symbolizes whatever it symbolizes. You know how the artistic people are, you know? But listen to this. Like these paintings, we had an expectation of what the picture should look like, and we bought the expensive frame to hang it on the wall of our hearts, only to find out that what we pictured and what God has pictured looks entirely different. And so on this 2020 journey, what is the expectation? Is it what we pictured and it's only been a month? Has it been what we've already pictured it to look like? I saw somebody say, man, it's been a long year. I'm thinking, wow, it's been a month. But once again, it wasn't what they expected. See, anytime we are about to go on a journey, we prepare, we're excited, We're just so over the top saying, man, I'm going on this trip. I'm going on this journey. We're so excited. And then next thing you know, stuff happens along the way. It happens to all of us, right? Yeah. However, I'm always curious to how many of us actually put up a defense because we're scared of the disappointment. So that's why we don't actually get overexcited. We're like, yeah, no, I'm not excited about that. I'm not excited about 2020. Why? Because we don't want to get disappointed. Why? Because hope is actually vulnerable. Right? Hope is vulnerable. And faith can be fragile. Right? Our faith can be fragile. But can I encourage us this morning that we need to choose joy on this journey? Right? We need to have joy. Turn to your neighbor and say, have some joy. And so on this journey of joy, the first thing I want to point out is that we know that God has a plan for our life, right? And that's why we can have joy. Psalm 16, verse 5 to 11 says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel in the night. Also, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption." And here it is. "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So God has a plan. This is the one truth that we all have to settle as we go on this journey, is that he does have a plan. And it's time for us to let go and let God actually direct our paths. Because when he directs our path, there is life. The reason why we can't celebrate this truth is because we have a plan for our own lives. We have our own picture. And if it doesn't fit into my picture, then we got some issues, right? And so the reason we get frustrated is because we feel the pressures of our plans plummeting before our eyes. I had a bunch of plans. I had my own ideas. I had my own picture. But now none of this is coming to pass. Isn't that the struggle for all of us? But can I encourage us this morning that let's remember that every step of a righteous man has been ordered by God. Notice it doesn't say has been ordered by me, has been ordered by my pastor, has been ordered by my boss. Every step of a righteous man has been ordered by God. You still with me? Second thing is that we're certain that God will work it out. It's actually a gospel song in there, you know, God will work it out. But isn't that the truth, is that we can have joy because we're certain that he can work it out. And he will work it out. 1 Peter 1:8 says, "You love him even though you have never seen him. And though you do not see him now, you trust him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy." How many of us can rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy for who he is, even though we don't see him? And so the question is, do we trust him? Do we trust him on the journey? Has God ever let you down? God has never let me down. See, I love when people give you a task. I love when I give people a task and they run with it. I don't have to oversee it. I just know that it's going to get done. Right? How many of us love people like that? I'm just going to give you a job, do it, and I trust that you're going to do it. Isn't that the relationship that we have with God? God, these are my struggles. This is my circumstance. This is what I'm going through. However, I know and I'm certain that you're going to make a way. You're going to actually work this situation out. So I'm just going to leave it in your hands and take my hands off of this thing. Amen? Because he is a good God. He is a good God. And I found that the greatest joy of my journey is actually in the truth of my testimonies. Because there's always testimonies along the way. And those testimonies reveal the truth of who God is. So let's focus on those testimonies while we're on the journey. Because you know what the testimonies do? It reminds me that if he did it before, he'll do it again. And that's the joy that we have in him. And can't you, I hope we see the wonderful privilege and opportunity that we know who God is and the hope that we have in him. Amen? And so God is working it out. So what are you worried about? Right? God is working it out. So what are you worried about? What are you worried about? And so can I encourage us to know that he is working it out. Just the same way how we sang with Waymaker, right? Even though I don't see it, you're working. So then I have to choose joy, number three. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. If you actually look at this, Paul is actually, it's not a recommendation. It actually is a commandment. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Can I ask, when's the last time that we've rejoiced? When's the last time? See, because our rejoicing should be every minute of every second of every day. Because there's always something to rejoice about. Amen? Because when I choose joy, I actually frustrate the enemy. When I choose joy, I actually frustrate the enemy. I think I've said this before, but joy is a focus before it's a feeling. Joy is a focus before it's a feeling. Remember in Hebrews 12:2, it says, fixing my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, or the author and finisher of my faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. How many of us know that it was not joy for him to go to the cross? But can I suggest this, that his eyes wasn't set on the cross, but his eyes was focused through the cross. And for some of us in here, we have to take our eyes off of the situation and focus through that situation. Because when I choose joy, it's my response to every circumstance. It's my response to every situation. When I choose joy, it's my response to my boss when he gets on my nerves. Or it's my response to my kids. It's my response to those that are gossiping about me. It's my response to everything around me. Joy is my response. And so we have to decide in our hearts that we're not going to react anymore, but we're going to respond. We're not going to react to the situation, but we're going to respond with the word of God. Amen? So choose joy. Deuteronomy chapter 30, 11 to 19 says, for this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules. Then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. And here it is. Therefore, choose life that you and your offsprings may live. And so every single day we have the option to choose life. There's life and death. There's blessing and curses. All these things are set before you. But here's my encouragement to you, the Lord says. Choose life. Choose joy. Choose peace. Choose kindness. Choose to focus on me. Choose life. And so what are we choosing to choose today? The first thing that we get to choose is we get to choose to look beyond my circumstances. Philippians, we're going to focus in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 18, where Paul is in jail. And it's so interesting to me that Philippians is called the most joyous letter written. How can you write the most joyous letter in a jail cell? I don't know. We'll see. Philippians 1:12 says, "And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped me to spread the good news." James chapter 1, 2 to 4 says, "Consider or count it all pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Have you ever noticed sometimes when we are in the worst situations in our lives that God is doing the most through those situations? I mean, take the worst situation that you've ever gone through. But I think in the worst situations, that's when God shows us the most about who he is. And so we see that Paul is writing this letter from a jail cell. How many of us know that Paul did not choose to go to jail? How many of us would choose to go to jail? But he was placed there because of this gospel that he was preaching. Talk about being in a low place for Paul, right? See, the thing is, we can't change our circumstances, but we can choose how to respond to them. And so we should never let our circumstances dictate our reality. And so Paul gets put in this jail cell, and he says, "Everything that has happened to me here has helped me to spread the good news." Can you picture that? He didn't get placed, even though he got put in jail, he used that opportunity to spread the gospel in jail. It's funny because it made me think about looking beyond our circumstances. It made me think about it. In the summertime, we went on a road trip, joy in the journey. And we went to the Great Wolf Lodge for Amelia's birthday. And when we left here, it was like rainy and the weather wasn't good. And how many of us know the biggest, one of the biggest disappointments is weather? That weather app, I tell you, causes messes in people's lives. And so we left going on this journey to Great Wolf Lodge, and the whole family's freaking out. Because they're like, "Oh my gosh, it's raining. When we get there, the weather's going to be horrible. We're not going to have a good time." And I'm like, "Guys, just relax. We don't know what the weather is in Niagara Falls. It says that the sun is not going to come out until one. Okay, Okay, everybody relax, okay? Even though it's raining here, it still could be sunny in Niagara Falls. We're going there, and the more we get to Niagara Falls, it's still raining. The family's still freaking out. And I'm like, guys, stop freaking out. It's going to be sunny over there because the weather app says it's going to be sunny. No, you can't trust the weather. It's going to be sunny. Don't worry about it. And so we get into Niagara Falls, and guess what? It's sunny. But isn't that how we look at life? It's raining in our circumstance right now. Where we are right now, the weather doesn't seem to be going well. But how many of us know that we have to actually look beyond our circumstances? Amen? Number two, we have the choice to choose, or sorry, we get to choose, sorry, choose to find new opportunities. Philippians 1:13-14 says, "For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear." Paul saw an opportunity in jail. And what happened? He says, "Because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence." Once again, do you think Paul would choose to be in these chains? Would he choose to be in these chains? Paul couldn't change the fact that he was in the chains, but he noticed he had an opportunity. So what chains are you in this morning? What chains are you in this morning? Because how many of us know that God actually uses our chains for good? Because the situation that you're in now can actually help somebody else going through their situation. I might be going through financial struggles right now, but I'm actually going to use my financial struggles to help somebody else going through financial struggles and say, hey, this is how I'm dealing with it. How about we deal with it together? I'm having a hard time with my kids. You're having a hard time with your kids. Well, let me encourage you. This is how I'm getting through it. And hopefully you can get through it. And when you get through it, then you can help someone else get through it. And so he noticed that this opportunity was little to do with his comfort and more to do with his calling. It was little to do about comfort for Paul, because his eyes were always on what he was called to do. And that was to preach the gospel. And we think a bad situation sometimes dismisses the call of God in our lives. Can I tell you this morning that it doesn't? It doesn't. Because here's the revelation that Paul had, is that I'm in these chains. And I may not remove these chains, or I don't have the ability to remove these chains, but I know he has the ability to use these chains. See, we have opportunities all around us, but we have to stop rejecting them and start recognizing them. We have opportunities all around us, but sometimes we focus too much on the chains instead of focusing on his ability to use the chains. Which brings me to my last point. Choose to focus on what really matters. And this is what's hard for a lot of us. Philippians 1:15-18 says, "It's true that there are some who preach Christ out of competition and controversy, for they are jealous over the way God has used me. Many others have pure motives. They preach with grace and love filling their hearts because they know I have been destined for the purpose of defending the revelation of God. Those who preach Christ with ambition and competition are insincere. They just want to add to the hardships of my imprisonment. Yet in spite of all this, I am overjoyed." Paul is amazing. A lot to learn from him. And then he says, "For what does it matter?" as long as Christ is being preached. And if they preach him with mixed motives or with genuine love, the message of Christ is still being preached. And I will continue to rejoice. What does it matter? A lot of us get bogged down with stuff that really doesn't matter. And for Paul in this, he's in prison and he's like, listen, I don't care how the message is being brought. I don't care about people's motives. I'm not here to judge people's motives. But as long as Christ is being preached, what does it matter? What does it matter has everything to do about our focus. What are you focusing on? Because I can say that a lot of times we focus on stuff that really doesn't matter. Because our joy will always be attached to whatever we focus on. Our joy will always be attached to whatever we focus on. Our joy is going to be attached to whoever we have to pick the Super Bowl tonight. Our joy is attached to that. I mean, my joy left a long time ago when the Cowboys got out of the playoffs. Didn't even make the playoffs. My joy is gone. A lot of stuff in life just doesn't matter. And when we lose sight of what truly matters in life, we begin a downward spiral. We begin a downward spiral. Like Paul, we have to come to a point in our lives when popularity doesn't matter. Our personal preferences doesn't matter. Our platform doesn't matter. Our position in our workplaces doesn't matter. My new car doesn't matter. My house doesn't matter. My salary doesn't matter. My new video game doesn't matter. The only thing that matters to Paul was fulfilling his mission that God had called him to do. That was the only thing that mattered to him. So what matters to us this morning? What is the joy? What is detracting our joy today? Some of us put joy on people. Our joy is attached to positions. Our joy is attached to our platforms. Our joy is attached to things. And so the question is, on this journey, if we're going to enjoy and have joy on this journey, then we have to attach our joy to only one thing, and that is Jesus. That's the only thing that will bring you joy. He is the only one. And that's hard to believe, that nothing else in life will bring you pure joy. But that is the truth. Is that our joy is actually founded in Him. And we can never let our condition determine our position. And I love what Paul says at the end. I will continue to rejoice. I will continue to rejoice. I will continue to rejoice. It doesn't matter how it started this year. It doesn't matter how tough January was. It doesn't matter what I'm going through right now. I will still rejoice. No matter what my struggle is. Because the important thing that we all have to understand is that we're not all going through the same thing, but we're all going through something. But we have this wonderful opportunity to choose joy.